So there's me, back in the summer of 2009. That is at the tallest waterfall in the state of Virginia. It's an incredibly impressive waterfall, isn't it? Now, you can't see the whole thing. It is about a couple hundred feet, maybe 200-300 feet in its entire length. It is not Niagara Falls. I was a little unimpressed with the grandeur of it, but it was neat because I guess waterfalls down the side of this hill and these rocks, and so it was the tallest waterfall in all of Virginia. We went there. We were camping nearby, so we went and checked it out. And the next day, we went to the top of the waterfall to, rather than climbing up all those stairs, well, it's just easier the next day to just drive to the top, walk along a trail, and check it out. During that little trek, we decided for some reason to follow the stream up and then get back to the trail, and that wasn't working out so well. Got a little turned around, and none of us brought any water to drink. We didn't think ahead, and I'm a particularly thirsty person, and this is, you know, a pretty quick moving stream. You can see from the it looks pretty clean to you, does it not? So I drank some water, lapped up the water. I don't know if it was, if I'd be discommunicated from the soldiers that were to attack. But anyways, I drank some of the water to refresh myself. And that evening, I was the sickest I'd ever been. Incredible nausea just overcame me. I was sweaty, and just it was horrible way to camp in the summer. It's bad enough when it's hot and humid out. But we don't know the source of the water, do we? The source is what really matters. It can look as clean, crystal clear, it can look whatever, but who knows if 100 yards upstream there's a deer or a person or who knows polluting it. Could it be going over some roads and some oil? You know, there's just so many variables that can go into polluting this stream. And so if we drink from it, it'll make us incredibly sick. So we need to be discerning. Get the bottle of Aquafina or whatever, even the tap water here from Panama City. We won't go into the debate of the whatever, if it's clean or not. But certainly it's cleaner than that water because I have not felt that sick since I've moved down here. But the source matter, does it not? We can easily be deceived by what seems something that's going to refresh us, something that's going to fill us, something that's going to help us and be beneficial, but it turns out to actually hurt us in the process. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that we know comes from you. You are pure. You are just. We can trust you in everything that you've said that you've written. Lord, may you speak through me. This morning, may you open our eyes and our ears to your truths from your Holy Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And with that, we'll be looking at testing the spirits. We'll be in the book of 1 John, verses chapter 3:24 through 4:6. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and take it out, and you can follow along with me and test to make sure that I am not deceiving you. I've prayed that the Lord would give me the words to speak, but I say this with all sincerity. It's okay, as we'll see, to test if somebody is giving you truth. Go back to the source of truth. Make sure that this is actually the truth that you're hearing. I'm a person, as much as I pray and seek the Holy Spirit, I can be deceived because I have my own personal views. I have my biases, whether I like to admit them or not. And sometimes those can sneak into my understanding of the word. And it happens to each of us. None of us in this room understands God perfectly. So we want to be discerning, we want to ask his help. So today we look at what John, and so this is the Apostle John, the one who wrote the book of John, what he says. He's been writing a lot to these people, these followers of Christ, about loving God. In turn, God's love will be manifest to one another. And in the passage that we studied last week from Pastor Hazard, it ended with this verse. By this we know that he abides in us, talking about God, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So we know that God abides in us because he has given his Spirit to live and reside in us. So if we have faith in Christ, then God abides not just with us. So when Jesus came to earth, he was Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus has left, and the disciples, the apostles, well, this is going to get worse, is it not? Well, actually, it gets better. Instead of having God with us, we have God in us with the Holy Spirit. The abiding form of God in the form of the Holy Spirit. So now let's go ahead, before we go into these the rest of 1 John, let's see even what John has written in his gospel about the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the identity of the Holy Spirit, the roles of the Spirit of God. John 14, 16 tells us, John writes, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." He writes down Jesus' words. Jesus says to his disciples, his apostles, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." So this another helper in the Greek, it's not just, it's another one just like me. Jesus says to the apostles, "I'm going to give you this Holy Spirit, this another helper just like me." So Jesus is God. We know then that the Holy Spirit is God, another of the same kind to be with you forever, which is a wonderful promise, especially as they worried about what was happening. This helper, and since he is another of the same kind as Jesus, he will also come in grace and in truth, as we'll see in some of these verses. We covered that on Christmas Day, and I'm sure you all remember that wonderful message I gave you looking at John 1:14. But not only did Jesus come in flesh, he came in grace and in truth. So as John unpacks all this, we'll see the Spirit of truth. John 14, 26, as we try to understand who the Holy Spirit is, he says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit," so he's a helper, "whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you." So this Holy Spirit, he's another one just like Jesus, and he's a teacher. He's there. He's not just a mystical power that's going to help out here or there. He is a teacher for these people. And we see here by the word he, the pronoun he, that there is personhood in the Holy Spirit. It's not just a mystical first force. It is a part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit has personhood. John 16:8, what other roles and identity do we see in the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus also told the disciples, "And when he comes," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." So he's going to help us out. He's going to teach us, but he's also going to convict the world of their sin, their righteousness or lack thereof, and the impending judgment that is to come. So many of us have experienced this convicting force before coming to know Christ as Savior. Pastor Hazard has referenced, "I don't want to go to hell." That was his driving force to accept Christ. He knew of that judgment that was to come. That wasn't just his idea one day while he was cattling out there doing whatever they do, those cowboys. I don't know. You can correct my verbiage next time. But it was the Holy Spirit convicting. It was freshman year of college having religious discussions with folks. We were in the room of our Muslim friend. I was talking to my Catholic friend. And all of a sudden we're in the conversation. I said, "You know what? I don't deserve to go to heaven." And so this is atheist 18-year-old Brian, and just in this these conversations, "You know what? I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell." And nobody shared anything about the gospel or that, I deserve to go to hell. It was just this realization, "You know what? I've been pretty good, but I haven't been good enough. I can just think of, the way I've treated my sister or others, or just, any laundry list of kind of minor things. You know what? I don't deserve this. I deserve basically this judgment," which the Holy Spirit, that was once again the Holy Spirit. It wasn't my Muslim friend or my Catholic friend or my religiously ambiguous drinking buddies. It was the Holy Spirit. He convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then finally, Jesus later on, John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes." So here's this truth. He's another one like Jesus. Jesus came in grace and truth. So he is the Spirit of truth. So he can only present to us truth. It says he will guide you into all the truth. So he's not just our teacher, he's our guide. He's to walk along with us. And why can we believe this? For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He'll guide you into all the truth. Whatever he hears from the Father, he will present to you. Speaking directly from God the Father, this teacher, tell us the things that are to come with end times, just whatever is to come. These are the wonderful roles of the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit that abides in us, whom the Father has given us. So we unpack all that so that way we can move into these verses here to understand. All right, so as we go into, and John's going to warn about spirits now in chapter 4, verse 1. So we have this context behind us. John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." So we're told to test the spirits. So just because we get a feeling, just because somebody whom we think we can trust, we want to ask of that source. We want to test them out to make sure that we can actually trust them. He uses beloved, this endearing term. He loves these folks. He says, you know, I don't want you to get tricked. I don't want you to get deceived from all these people. Please trust me. Please don't just go willy-nilly trusting whatever comes on, whatever you hear from folks. Just because it's on an infomercial doesn't mean it'll actually clean your house. It won't actually catch fish. Did anybody buy some Banjo Minnows? I did back in 1997. Eventually I'll catch a fish on one of those Banjo Minnows. But we need to test every spirit. There's some harmful spirits out there. Test to see whether they are from God. So we see a whole bunch of truths about spirits. That, hey, spirits, they exist. We live in a physical world with a spiritual world all around us. And in our Western culture, we tend to disregard this. We've thought our way out of the spiritual world. That doesn't really exist. I know in this body of believers, we don't fall into that trap, but it's easy for us to slide into that. So we see spirits exist. Bad spirits exist. It's not just the good spirits from God, but there's also these bad spirits. They exist, and they are not from God. So these bad spirits, they desire to deceive, including believers. He wouldn't need to warn them, all right, well, I'm in God, I have the Holy Spirit, all right, I have this protection shield around me, these bad spirits can't get to me. That is a false presumption to make. We wrestle with demonic activity and demon possession and demon influence and all this. Well, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, and so the demons, they can't control me like that. Well, sure they can. You can certainly give yourself over to these bad spirits, to trusting these bad spirits. Test them out. God calls us to test out, and He won't take offense if this if it's the Holy Spirit speaking, if it's from somebody, one of His. If He tells you to test all the spirits, He's not going to get offended when you try to figure out, is this the Holy Spirit? Is this not? Just like with the scams that are out there, you get phone calls. Hey, your credit card's been compromised. I just need XYZ information. Well, we don't want to just necessarily trust that person. Well, let me go ahead and call the number that's on the back of my credit card. Let me do whatever else. Let me verify that you are who you say you are, because I don't know you. You just called up my phone. You sent me an email. You sent me a letter. I don't know if you're the IRS or you're Tim from India trying to get my credit card information so I buy you Target gift cards. I don't know. But there's a lot of scams out there. And he says, I don't want you to get deceived by these. So the Holy Spirit, He's there as a helper. He's there to teach you all things. He's there to guide you into all the truth, not these deceptions that are going on. As we move into verse 2, it tells us, well, how will we know them? By this you'll know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. If this person is coming to you, in the previous verse it talked about prophets. It wasn't just voices that we hear or inklings or whatever. These are our prophets, people coming and assuming or presuming to speak from God. This is the truth from God. Well, test them. Is Jesus the Christ? Is Jesus the Savior? Has Jesus come in the flesh from God to die for my sins? There are many false religions who have the appearance and the aura of Christianity out there that do not confess it. They've been unfortunately deceived. They're wonderful, nice people, but just deceived people, as we all were at one point. If Jesus is not the Christ, then we don't want to listen to that spirit. We don't want to listen to the truth that comes from there. In verse 3, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of the devil, of Satan. This is one of his demonic spirits, which you heard was coming and now is in this world already. And so we usually think of this big Antichrist, the big title, but there's a lot of Antichrists in this world. A lot of things that are against Jesus Christ. I was an Antichrist in 2005 and earlier. I was against the things of Jesus Christ. There are many folks who are against the things of Jesus Christ, many spirits against the things of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to listen to them. We don't want to be deceived, no matter how articulate or well thought out the proposition, the logic it may be. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. So we see the Scripture clearly says, that's why I told you to take out your Bibles. What does the Scripture say about these truths? The Holy Spirit will guide us through the Scriptures, help us to understand, interpret. Well, what does the Scripture say about life? Where does life come from? Who is the author of life? It is God. God has created all of these things. So to terminate this unborn life would be unwise. It would be against what God has done. God has put this life together. Whether we understand the purpose or not, this life is created in God's image. So we don't want to be deceived by the... there's a solid logic absent of Christ in many of these arguments. Absolutely, these women, these single women, their lives are significantly impacted. Even if they choose to put the baby up for adoption, man, those 9 months are tough getting rid of. That there's an emotional difficulty that they'll struggle with. Absolutely, there's difficulties if the woman's been assaulted and this is an unwanted pregnancy. Man, for 9 months now, you have this reminder of the terrible, awful thing that's happened. She's an incredible victim in all of this. But in the midst of all this, God has created life. So we want to test these spirits. We want to test these thought processes. Where is the origins of all of this logic? And there is logic. There is arguments. There is truths which are compelling. But what does the Word of God say? We want to go to that. So we want to watch out for those antichrists. So now moving on to verse 4, he writes, little children. And this isn't diminutive. This isn't, all right, you little kids. This is, man, you are little children, God's eyes. How much do we love our little children? Yes, they can tick us off and frustrate us, but man, do we love them? Do we love our little children? This is who believers are. We are in God's sight. So as he writes to these folks, all right, little children, you who are loved incredibly from God, you are from God and have overcome them. You have overcome these things that are against Christ. You have overcome these evil spirits that are going on them. For he who is in you, who is God, is greater than he who is in the world. So who are we then in Christ? 1 John 5:1 says that everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ has been born of God. We'll get to that verse in a couple weeks here, but everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, we've been born of God. God has birthed us a spiritual rebirth. And as a result of this belief, Romans 5:1 tells us, since we have been justified by faith, we've been declared righteous by our faith alone. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. This is who we are in Christ. So whatever lies are coming at us, I'm at peace with God. I might not exactly be doing what he wants me to do, but I am at peace with God because I've been declared righteous by my faith. I haven't been declared righteous because I finally had a good day and I finally got my quiet time. I finally apologized for all the bad things to God. No, I'm at peace with God. He's not at war with me. And Romans 38 that should be 39 or 40, not 30. We're not going backwards. Anyways, Paul writes, neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can take us away. So when those lies come in that, oh, man, you've blown it for the thousandth time, God cannot forgive you for that. Well, nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God. So I'm afraid that you're incorrect here. None of my bad actions, as atrocious as they may be, in my sight or anybody else's sight, nothing's going to be able to separate me from the love of God. Christ is greater than these forces, and he is in me. He has overcome this world. Greater than this world. And that's who we are in Christ, which is why I believe in your bulletin article today is just, who is my identity in Christ? Who am I in Christ? So I wanted to equip you all with that. Just, man, when I start to doubt these things, this is who you are in Christ. Not because Pastor Brian says so, Pastor Hazard, or whomever ordained licensed person says, well, this is what Scripture says. This is who you are. This is what the truth says about you. Now, verse 5. So this is who we are. We are from God, but they're from the world. These people that are against Christ, they are from the world. They rise up from the world. We are from God, but they are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world. And the world listens to them. Their source is not from God. So when we understand what their source is, who they are, they are from this world. Everything is earthly, worldly knowledge. It's not coming from above. It's not coming from heaven. So that is their only source of information. So all they can speak is truths, whether they're truth or not, from the world. And God, in His grace, all truth comes from God. All wisdom comes from God. So there are truths and there is wisdom from folks who do not know Christ as their Savior. But I would not encourage you to listen to them. That is your source of truth. Just because there's an aspect of truth wrapped in an argument does not make the whole argument truthful. So once again here, they are from the world. This is where they've come up from. This is who they are because they have not accepted Christ as their Savior. So what did I do here? I didn't mean to. Oh well, such is life. So all their information, once again, can only come from the world. So anything they speak comes out from one to another is worldly. So we don't want to be this second group getting information where we know what the source is. Be careful of that. But we're from God. John writes, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. So we've come down, we've been spiritually come down from above, we've been reborn of Him. So whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So our information comes from God. Our information comes from His Word through His Holy Spirit, and we can communicate that to one another. In this he says, we are from God. He's speaking, not necessarily we talking about as all believers, but that's true. But he's also saying, hey, we as apostles. You can believe the words that I'm writing to you. These are words from God. I have been sent from God. So whoever knows God listens to us, listens to these apostles, these words coming from God. We know that from 2 Peter 1:21 that no prophecy comes from man, but God speaks through man, the Holy Spirit, as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. All of his truths are coming by the Holy Spirit to other people. The Holy Spirit is incredibly involved in all of this. So we want to know the source. We want to know the source. Is this clean water, or is this going to make me incredibly sick? Is this going to take me off on the wrong path? Is this coming from the world, or is this coming from Satan? So as we close today with our big idea, we face deception from Satan daily. We may or may not see it. It might come in small aspects. It might come in big aspects. Various aspects of deceptions we face. We already talked about the sanctity of life. Well, when does life begin? Who is the source of this life? Who should determine whether or not this life has ended? We can look at finances. One of the wonderful things here at this church, a huge blessing, God has been incredibly gracious and generous to Heritage Bible Church over the 46, 47 years. But this year, come to the meeting at 3 o'clock, the Lord has blessed us with an extra $23,000 above our budget this year. That's an extra 11% more than we anticipated or expected, above what we had anticipated spending. And the Lord has blessed us with that. That is an incredible, incredible, huge financial blessing. Talking with Tom and Pastor, I don't think this has ever happened. That huge of a just blessing. He has incredibly blessed us. So what's our proper stewardship? So as we look at our finances, our personal, our in the church, Scripture tells us to give to the Lord. We're to steward those. We want to be stewards of our time and our talents. What do I do with the abilities that God has given to me? Well, how much of my day is really mine? What about rest? What does the world say about rest? If it's work, well, I got to work 7 days a week. I got to bust my hump so I can be the best, most whatever. Well, Scripture clearly tells us to take a rest. It's not a lazy day, a cop day out, but to rest, to be refreshed by Him, to cease from work, and God commands it. He blesses it. What are our value, our identity in Christ? The world will tell you, well, you're not forgiven, or the Satan will say, well, God's mad. How much grace does he have for you? Certainly it's going to run out soon. You've got to the 7 times 70th and God's just about done. That's why we have the identity in Christ insert. So as we close, what area or areas of your life are you currently facing deception? Perhaps I've been praying that the Lord, that he would reveal these to you. Man, you know what? I'm not sure if this is accurate. I think I've been buying into some lies of this world, just lies of the culture. We want to go back to the source. The source will guide us into all truth. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, work on our hearts. Illuminate the areas in which we've been deceived. We've given into lies or deception or just even very slight. Protect us from this. Help us to hear your truth from you. We thank you that we can test all these spirits. And Lord, when we test you in this area, you do not become mad because you desire to present truth to us. Lord, may we trust and rely in your Holy Spirit more this afternoon and more tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and as we move forward. Guide us and direct us into all the truth. It's in Christ's name we pray.